Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Pastor Rosie, you can come on up. I just want to brag on this great woman of God who happens to be one of my very dear friends as well. You know, when I first met her, I was always so inspired by her zeal, her passion, her fire. It's got to be that Brazilian blood. And Pastor Rosie is an incredible preacher and has an incredible prophetic gift. Like, God gives her dreams and visions, and God's used her in such a powerful way in our lives and the lives of so many people. And she gets these phone calls from other kings in our network and says, hey, can Pastor Rosie come and preach for us? And we're like, you go, girl. So give Pastor Rosie a big hand clap tonight.
Awesome. Praise God. How many love our pastors? I love my pastors. They are the best. Thank you so much. I honor Pastor Karen. I honor Pastor Daniel Bracken, and I honor you and our Eagle River people that came here tonight. Praise God. You can have a seat. And I just want to tell you that, you know, it's such an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. You know, I came out of this church to go to Eagle River, and was like out of brokenness. When I came here, I was so broke, and Pastor Karen and Pastor Daniel, they ministered to us. They restored our marriage. It was such a blessing, and I owe you my life. And I love Pastor Karen. They're not just our pastors. They are our great friends, and I appreciate and I honor you. Praise God. I just want to read with you tonight. I want to talk to you about a culture of honor. It didn't start yet. Can you go back to that 15 minutes? So, oh, come on. It was just the introduction. So, okay, let's read in Mark 6, 1 to 6. I want to talk to you about culture of honor. Jesus left the part of the country and returned with his disciples to Nazareth, his hometown. The next Sabbath, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. They asked, where did he get all this wisdom and power to perform such miracles? Then they scoffed. He is just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sister lives right here among us. They were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. Then Jesus told him, a prophet is honored everywhere except in his own town and among his relative and his own family. And because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracle among them except to place hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief or their lack of honor. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for your word that's alive, that's a light into our path, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are mighty. I pray that you bless us tonight. Use me, Lord God. Give me a clarity of speech. As I speak your word, Lord God, people will be transformed and become an honorable person in Jesus' name. And I know you are honorable, but I felt like talking about a culture of honor tonight, just because it wasn't because they didn't have faith or they didn't believe that they couldn't receive from Jesus. It was because they didn't honor him. And you know that many times we can't, do you know how many times, all the time, you can't receive from those you don't honor. You know, I can't receive from anybody. Anybody can come and talk to me. Doesn't mean I'm going to accept your opinion or your ideas, but I receive from you. And that's why I understand that honor comes with submission. I'm very submitted to our pastors, and I love them. It doesn't mean we agree with everything. It means that I trust the Lord, that even though we're not agreeing with something, if they're wrong, the Lord's going to correct them. When you honor, you never correct up. You wait. You believe that the Lord gonna talk to them. Gonna, if you have to correct, gonna correct them. But I will not do it. I'll honor them. That's what I do. So Jesus could not perform because of lack of honor. The same crowd that was amazed at his miracle. Wow, great job. They said, hey, wasn't this the son of Mary, the son of the carpenter? Was the same crowd. Don't grow with the crowd. It's not a good thing. Don't go with the crowd. Same crowd, they're going to say, yeah, go. You did it. Good job. It's the same crowd, they're going to say, like, she's not all of that. He's not all of that. Don't worry about it. They can't do miracles. He just did miracles. And he couldn't operate. It wasn't because of lack of faith. It was a lack of honor. It was a lack of honor. I want to talk to you really quick about, like the Bible said, honor your mother and father so you can have a long, you don't want to die early, right? You want to have a long life. Honor brings to you long life, not just from your mother and father, but honor will increase the longevity of your life. And I remember my mom was married to my dad for 27 years. Had 7 kids with my dad. He was very abusive, very wealthy man. He had like a 300 staff, a lot of land, very wealthy guy. But my mom decided to leave him when I was 1 year old. He never came after me. He never gave me a penny. And my mom has to raise us all, 7 kids. And she became a janitor. She was a janitor in a hospital. And I remember it was very, very hard for her to raise us all. So she gave me, she said, like, you know what, just go live with your sister. My sister married up. She married a very wealthy guy. And I could live with my sister and be one of her maids. So I could pay for my school supplies. So that's how I was raised. And then to me, I was like, man, how can you honor your mother? I love my mom. She's a hardworking woman. I adore my mom. I couldn't have a relationship with my dad because I don't know him much. But then eventually he got sick. My dad became sick, and the Lord said, honor him. Put him in a nursing home and pay for it. It doesn't mean I have to have a relationship with him, but if I want to have a long life, I have to honor just not from my lips, but from my heart. So I start honoring my dad, pay for what you're still paying for. Every month we send money for the nursing home, and we got the best nursing home. Not just any nursing home. Doesn't mean we're going to have the best relationship. It means like I'm going to obey the word, not because you don't honor people because they deserve your honor or your respect. Nobody needs to earn your honor and your respect. It comes from you, from an honorable heart. So you honor them, not because they deserve, not because people honor. People refuse to honor people that they don't agree with. You want to punish them with not being honorable to them. So what I did is like, okay, my mom, it's in Brazil, was like, I told my husband, like, I feel like we need to buy my mom a house. And he said, my husband's amazing. I honor my husband. He's such a great husband. And he said, like, yeah, let's buy her a house. So we bought my mom a house. We support my mom until this day. She's here right now in my house. But let me tell you, I can't blame my mom for the dysfunctional life that they had it. I can't blame others for the dysfunctional I grew up with. I can't blame anybody because I grew up an orphan and have no place to live. I can't blame anybody. I can't come and say, I can't honor you. You have to earn everything I have. You have to earn my respect. You have to earn my honor. No, the Bible said you honor all men. The Bible said that you honor all people. That means you honor your kids, you honor your youth, you honor your mom, you honor your dad, you honor your boss, you honor your pastors. Why is that? Because honor brings elevation. Last year, the word of God for Dr. Morocco was elevation. How do you get elevated? Elevation comes from a seed of honor because everything you planted, you're going to reap a harvest from it. So you get a harvest of elevation with that honor. So the definition of honor in Hebrew is called kabod. Kabad, whatever you want to say. I'm Brazilian, so I say kabad. I'm preaching, that's my word. So I say kabad. So which means to promote, to glory in, to elevate one another's status, to take someone from one level and raise to another level. That's my pastor. They take you from one level and take you to another level. So when you produce that honor, I'll produce that honor. And when I produce that, I get a harvest of people, staff that honor us. Because every seed you plant, you're going to reap a harvest from it. So you'd give to honor, it's like to give prestige to other people. Honor doesn't mean you have to agree. I do not agree with Pastor Karen all the time. You know, and I don't agree with my staff. I don't agree with my husband all the time. But guess what? I trust that she can hear from the Lord. I trust that they can hear from the Lord. And what do? You submit to it. So don't punish people with your dishonor just because you don't value their opinion. You have five ways you can honor people. You can honor someone with your prayers. You can honor others with your commitment. If you say you're going to do something, show up and do it. Show up and do it. Why is that? Your word is your bond. You have to have a commitment with that. So you can honor them with your finances. Give gift that's worthy of something, that's worth something. Don't just give a gift that something that you got it, that you don't like it, you're going to re-gift. Just give a good gift for God's sake, you know, and honor someone with your attitude. Honor someone with your attitude. I tell my kids, don't you roll your eyes at me. That's not honorable. You know what? And I teach, but honors start at home. That's why that if you honor your parents, your mother and father, it starts at home. Honor starts at home. You honor your mother and father so you can have a life, a long life. So you don't want to die early. I'm telling you. Do you know that the Lord honors your choice? If you want to go to hell, you can go to hell. But if you want to believe with your heart that Lord died for you and confess with your mouth that he's your savior, that you accept him into your life, you can be saved and spend eternity in heaven. Do you know that? Isn't God great? Oh, I love the Lord. Do you know that you can receive from the Holy Spirit if you honor his gifts? If you honor the Holy Spirit, you can operate through his gift. The Holy Spirit is my best friend. He saved my life. He changed my mind. He changed my marriage. He saved us. Do you know that? He gave me a family when I had no family. I have no family. I had no family in the United States since I came here for 22 years. This is my family. So the Holy Spirit will do that for you, but you must honor the Holy Spirit, not just with your lips, but with your heart, with your heart. So you honor them. Honor is a setup for success. Honor will elevate you and make you sit with nobles. Honor will do that for you. You don't honor people, like I said, because they deserve. I'm not honoring my dad because he deserved. I honor him because I have a culture of honor that started in my house. I have a culture of honor that if you come to me, if you need to sit on my seat, I'll give my seat to you. You can sit here. It doesn't matter. If you need a cup of water, that's honor. Let me tell you, everything is an honor that comes from a person, not because you want something from somebody, but no matter who it is, if you agree or disagree, if you like it or not, you're going to obey the word of God. You will honor them. So I want you tonight not to miss out of what God has for you in 2024. The Lord will open doors for you like never before. The Lord will elevate you like never before. I hear the Lord saying, Rosie, this year is going to be a favorable year of the Lord in your life. And it's going to be in your life too if you learn how to honor others and put others before you. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord will elevate you. And that's why you're here tonight. I saw some friends that I haven't seen for a while. And I was like, man, I'm so glad you're here tonight. I'm so honored with your presence tonight. I am so honored with your presence tonight. You are my family. You blessed me. So if you have that attitude, wherever you go, you're going to get elevation at work. You're going to get elevation at church. You're going to be elevated up and down. If you honor everywhere, you got to honor everywhere, up, down, all around. You honor kids. You honor adults. You honor your husband. I understand. It's not easy. I'm a strong Brazilian, but guess what? It doesn't mean you need to agree. It means that you need to submit and trust that the Lord's going to bless you. God bless you. I'm so glad you came. Come on.
Pastor Rosie, why don't you pray over us? Go ahead and pray over us.
All right, let me pray for you. Lord, I could put a hand on your heart because out of your heart comes the issue of your life. All the attitude comes from there. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. I thank you, Lord God, that your word said those who are going to see you are those who have a clean hands and pure heart. Lord, I pray, create in us, Lord God, a pure heart. Lord, I bless every and each one tonight, Lord God. And I pray that the word, Lord God, that's going to be preaching even now after me by Pastor Vicky, Lord God, will be able to penetrate in our hearts and our ears will not be dull to your word, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Good job, Pastor Rosie. Awesome. Well, I can't brag on Pastor Rosie without bragging on Pastor Vicky. Come on, Pastor Vicky. For those of you who don't know, Pastor Vicky's been with us a long time. I've neglected to say that Pastor Rosie's from Eagle River. And her and her husband pastor the great work that's going on there. They can't fit in their building. God is moving in power there. And but Pastor Vicky and her amazing husband lead our transformation center, our transformations team and ministry. She leads the entire social services arm of our church here. Do you have time to tell us a little bit about that in your time frame? Just tell us what you do, because there's a lot of different things that she does. And she is an incredible preacher, has an incredible heart for the broken and the hurting, and loves to see God move and touch and transform lives. And God's using you and your husband and your whole family to do so with a great team. And so we love you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, you can be seated. You know, it's a great honor, as Pastor Rosie was talking about the culture of honor. It's a great honor and a great privilege. I am so blessed to be able to serve under the leadership of Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen. I will never forget the day that I first met them as my family was having brunch. And Pastor Daniel came over and introduced himself to us. And lo and behold, the Lord was putting something in motion. And I am beyond blessed and honored to call them my pastor and my spiritual leaders in this house and to do ministry with them. And I'm honored to be married to a great husband, Eric, and our amazing kids that we have. And But tonight I'm going to share, you know, every beginning of the year we have our 21 day of fasting. And I like to go before the Lord and ask, God, what are you saying for this year to me? And this year the Lord really has been laying on my heart about planting seeds. And about being rooted, and about the difference between a shallow root and a deep root. And as I was getting ready for my message for the bestowment and the celebration for tonight, I'm like, you know, I'm going to share about that. I'm going to share about planting. And so tonight my message is called Kingdom Farming. And we are going to start reading out of Mark. In Mark 4, we're going to read verses 3 to 8, and then we're going to skip down to verses 14 through 20. Listen, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. And when you skip down to verse 14, here Jesus explains this parable. The farmer sows the seed. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Father, I ask that you would come, that you would use me today as your instrument, that whatever it is you wish for me to speak, let it be spoken. I ask that you would take the coal from your altar and place it upon my lips, that you would help me to articulate this message the way that you anticipate it to go forth, in Jesus' name. So there's three things here that we are going to talk about when it comes to being a kingdom farmer and being one that plants. You see, the soul in this scripture is the soul of our heart. We are the sower, the farmer who plants seed. And the seed, as we know, is the word of God. Now, I like this scripture a lot because of what I do, because of what I get to do. You see, every good farmer knows that before you plant seed, you have to till the ground. You gotta fertilize it. You gotta water it. You have to prepare it for the seed so that that seed can bear fruit, right? And in this parable, we have different various soils. We had the hard soil. We had the rocky soil. We had a thorny soil, which none were ready to receive the soil. And there are people that are just that same way. They're not ready to hear the word. They're not ready to understand the word. And by no means are they ready to obey and live out the word. However, there is no hopeless soil. There is no field that can't be made ready. With the power of prayer, with the power of God's love, with the power of his word, what looks like a hopeless field can be a field that's fruitful. Now, when it comes to my own personal journey and my own personal life, I can stand here and say, I was most of these. I was one that I would go to church on Easter, Christmas, primarily I would go on Easter. I felt this compelling thing to be, you know, it's Easter, it's a tradition, you know, it's an act that I should do. I should go to church on Easter. Full heathen, but I should go to church on Easter. My grandmother was a woman of God. She was a woman on fire for the Lord. And so I knew just enough to know, oh, you go to church on Easter, because that's a special thing. But you see, I was a hurt soul. I had been through things in my life that my heart was still hard. So I would go. I would hear. I would listen. But I would quickly walk right back out the door, and everything I heard would stay right there in that building. And I would, here comes another year. Here comes Easter. Here comes Vicky doing her religious thing. I'm going to church because it's Easter. And I remember going this one Easter, and it kind of struck me a little different, and I went to the altar. I remember saying the prayer, and oh, that wasn't too bad. That was pretty cool. That was a good experience. But you know what? I didn't go to church after that. I didn't read my Bible, pick it up. So really, again, here I am, falling back away. And this went on a couple of Easters in a row. But then I met a kingdom farmer. And for 3 years, she loved on me no matter what. No matter how drunk I was, no matter how many times I told her I wasn't going to her church, she loved on me. She prayed for me. She began to till my soil. In April of 2001, she invited me to an Easter production. And unbeknownst to me, my heart had softened till it was good. It was good soil, and the Lord knew so. That when that altar call came at the end of that production, and I went to the altar like I had done before in the past, but this time, I was good soil. That the seed went in, and it stayed. And I kept on going, and I kept on getting fed. And that seed blossomed and it grew. You see, there is no hopeless soil. You know, today I get the joy of being a kingdom farmer. Today I get to go into the field and help with hopes that one day I will see the multiplication. 60. 30, 100. See, farmers always find ground that's potential. A true kingdom farmer will always find ground that is potential. I love the movie Faith Like Potatoes. And even as I was typing this up, the Lord reminded me of that movie. Here was a man who everybody laughed at, who nobody had faith when he planted those potatoes in ground that did not look like it could produce anything. But he saw potential. And we that seen that movie know at the end that while on the outside it didn't look like anything was happening, but when he dug in that ground and he pulled out that first potato, I'm here to testify, I bawled. I bawled when I watched that movie, because God spoke to me even in that movie. That's what saving a life is like. That's what planting a seed is like. That it may not look like anything from the outside,
But inside, I'm doing a mighty work. A few years ago, well, actually several years ago, I think we were trying to figure out the time frame. It was on 2016. Pastor Robert Sahagun, who does our King's Molokai, had came, and he was prophesying over me and Eric. And he's like, you know, you're a minister, so I know you do everything. But I don't know why, but I just keep hearing lost coin ministry. Those that everybody else gave up on is the ministry you will have. The lost coin ministry. You see, our seed and good soil can cause great growth no matter how big the seed is we plant. Jesus loves you to a person with a heart that's ready to receive that little seed. You never know where that can take them. In Mark 4, 30 through 32, it says, again, he, Jesus, said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch on its shade. And maybe tonight you're saying, well, I don't even know how to till the soil. I don't know when to plant a seed. Well, Isaiah 28 tells you in verse 24 and 26. You see, when a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Tonight, maybe you've already received seed. Maybe you had God's word spoken to you, and you're growing in the Lord, living for God, doing things for God. Tonight, I want to encourage you to take a step to be a kingdom farmer. Till the hearts of the lost. Pray for them. Fertilize and water them. Love them even when they're unlovable. For it is his love that covers a multitude of sin. It is his word, your good news that you deliver, that can bring about that tree, that mustard seed planting. Matthew 18:12 says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wander away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 to go after the one? We all have opportunity to be a kingdom farmer, for there is always at least one field out there needing tilling, fertilizing, and watering. However, tonight, maybe you are that soil. Maybe you have been a bare, hardened soil. Maybe you've been rocky and thorny like I was. My prayer is that your soil has been tilled and fertilized. Maybe even tonight through the service, through the worship, through the word of Pastor Rosie. When the invitation is given tonight to receive Jesus, to surrender your life to him, my prayer is that your seed is good. Your soil is good, and the seed that goes forth will grow. For as I close, Colossians 2, 6 through 7. And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you must continue to follow him, Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in truth. You were taught and you will overflow with thanksgiving and you will be a kingdom farmer. Father, I thank you for these that are sitting out tonight. Now, God, I pray for those that they know you and they've been living for you. May you give them a burden. May you open all of our eyes to see the field. May we be laborers in your harvest field, planting seed, loving on hearts, loving on people, and preparing them to receive the word of God. And Lord, for those that maybe are out in this audience, may their hearts be tilled right now, that when this invitation goes forth, may they realize that there's a seed that you want to plant in them and that you want to grow in them and that they too can rise up and elevate and be used themselves as a kingdom farmer, farming in the land, seeing the lost save. Touch us tonight, God, in Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.